Yo, long hairs, welcome to another episode of Let It Ride. I am L Moreno, aka Lindsay Bartow. I got my man El Garvinsky on the ones and twos in the back. What's up, Garv?
What's up?
And a special guest who actually I wasn't planning on joining the show, Caleb, who's been on a previous guest here on the show. What's up? He is, we will learn more why he's sitting here. So, guys, we are here to inspire confidence, develop masculinity, and foster community among guys growing their hair. So if you're a guy with long hair, you're in the right place. On today's episode, we are honored to present to you a man of many talents. He's a dad, an author, a former union electrician, a professional fighter, a Versace model, a reality TV star, a coach, a gym owner, and now the founder and CEO of Strong Coffee Company. Making a pit stop here at the Longhairs HQ in the middle of his West Coast coffee tour, where there is no brewing, no blending, and no bullshit. While he's in the pursuit to have all people striving to reach our natural greatness, he's currently jacked on the black fair trade instant coffee with a heap of adaptogens. He is Adam Vaughn Rothfelder!
Dude, welcome.
Dude, what's up?
On the ones and twos. With a knockout introduction.
Dude, so, okay. Caleb, that's why you're sitting here. You are now aligned with Strong Coffee Company. Yeah. And this fine gentleman, 100%. Our highlight guest here on the show. And you guys are on your West Coast tour.
We are.
What's the deal? What are you doing on the West Coast tour? What's the goal?
To spread the strong.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're out here. My kids are about to get off of school in a little bit.
Yeah.
And I want to be focused on being a father.
Yeah.
When they get out of school. So I took this last couple of weeks of May.
Nice.
And told Caleb, put together a badass trip.
Hell yeah.
For us to get out there and serve a shitload of coffee. Get some workouts in, get some podcasts in,
yeah.
Get some fun in, some sun in, yeah. You know, maybe a little bit of weed and, you know, just enjoy our lives, enjoy
all the
things that we've worked so hard for.
So you set off west from Austin.
Yeah.
Hit Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then straight to San Diego.
Yes.
Now what's next?
We were in Scottsdale. We stopped at this great gym, did a couple of servings, you know, the feedback was awesome. I mean, as somebody like a founder, you can never get tired of seeing how happy somebody is
right.
Using your product for the first time.
Yeah.
So it's cool to get into new markets that we actually haven't really focused on. I mean, we're a small company, you know, it's like you can only reach so many people with so many dollars.
Yeah.
So getting to the streets and guerrilla marketing is a really effective way for us to do it because we do have such a good tasting product.
Yeah.
And to those that work out and care about their health, they instantly, you know, identify to it. So we just served at Invictus, which is like the gym.
Dude.
I mean, they create more champions in CrossFit. And
world-class gym right there.
World-class, right? Yeah. And they're all huge fans of Strong Coffee. And it was, you know, for those that hadn't tried it yet, they all loved it. And it was really cool to see the reaction to that.
Yeah.
And now we're here and we're going to have an incredible podcast.
Yeah.
I can already feel I can already feel the vibes.
Feel the energies, right?
Vibes.
Yeah. Yeah.
After this, what else do we got, dude? What do we got after this? You're the one that put the itinerary together.
We're going to LA.
Okay.
I think we're going to go to LA after this. I think we're going to start driving up to LA after this. We're going to go see the shoe surgeon. He's a big fan of our coffee, so we're going to stop and see him. Adam's on a couple other podcasts. He's speaking to a group, like an entrepreneur group down in Hollywood.
Okay.
We're going to go check out some other businesses of founders and owners that he knows and just serve a lot of coffee on the way, man. Fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. They love the coffee.
I mean, I think to be an entrepreneur of a startup, you have to be okay with just being a fucking barista sometimes.
Sure.
You know, and
you
it's just
wear many hats, do many
yeah,
things.
You have to wear so many hats. And I mean, a lot of people, I mean, it's funny. We have a van and we sleep in the van from time to time.
Sure.
And, you know, we rough it in between, stops.
You guys
and
bunking up in the
yeah, 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 exactly.
Cozy.
Dad in the
Yeah, we have, we're on our way. Yeah, we were on the way to the fucking Super Bowl, and we're like, it was getting dark, and we had been driving for about 8 hours, and we left like a little late, so we were a little tired. Pulled over in Las Cruces.
Yeah,
and I mean, it was like 40 mile per hour plus winds, and it was negative, and it was like 10-15 degrees at night, and we were sleeping in the tent on the top of the van. And oh man, that thing was whipping a couple times. I was like, shit, like, how strong you think this is, you know, in my head, because Caleb had never really camped.
No.
So I didn't want to freak him out. So I'm like, in my head, kind of just calculating how strong I think these clips are that hold this roof rack and our combined almost 400 pounds in weight, like on the top of this van. And you're looking out the window, and there's this like two campsites down, this poor tent just on the ground. Just there's no way these people out inside are not just, you know, just wide awake shit themselves. My bear skin hit like the wind for half a second. I thought I was getting burned. Dang. I was just like, oh my gosh, shit. You know, cover up my back.
So you guys are familiar with road tripping together.
Yeah.
We've done quite a few.
Yeah. We've been to Miami.
Yeah. Drove to Miami. We had like breakfast in New Orleans and then dinner in Florida and then was in Miami the next morning. Like,
sick.
Travel. It's awesome.
Yeah. So how did you two link up?
Dude.
Oh, and he wasn't because like the story.
Okay, because just to kind of give everybody up to speed, Caleb came on our podcast. You kind of doing your own thing. You had another business you were exploring into. Your hair was long. You've cut it since. We'll get into the hair at some point. Into there, both of you guys have your hair stories, which is great. But then you ended up moving to Austin.
Yeah,
and we didn't know. Yeah. You just went to Austin. Yeah. So, like, how did you link up with Adam? And what?
Dude, yeah. So, what took me out to Austin was I was still doing, like, sports performance stuff, and I was becoming the head trainer of this gym. And I've tried Strong Coffee prior, and I loved it. And then, so I saw that Adam was actually in Austin. I was like, oh, shit. I'm like, oh, this is the owner of Strong Coffee. Fuck. So, I just hit him up. And he was like, yeah, come through for a workout, whatever. And it was funny because, like, now knowing him, I know how busy he is and shit. Yeah. Right when I got there and I saw Pat's face, one of our, guys, and he was like, look, he's like, are you supposed to be here? I'm like, just tell him, like, Caleb from Instagram's here. And he's like, Caleb from Instagram's here, you know, whatever. And then Adam pulled up. He's like, I know he's like, oh, fuck, I forgot, you know, like, and so, but anyway, he pulled up and got a workout in with me. We just kind of talked some life. And then I was really just trying to, like, get Strong Coffee at the gym, but then his wife Araceli thought that like we were super close, so I've met him for a total of like an hour and 30 minutes, you know what I mean, and like an exchange here and there on Instagram. And so right before Araceli invited me, like the gym I was at fell through in like 2 months, so I picked up and moved my life to Austin, and like it fell through, and I was like, what the fuck am I gonna do? I don't know anybody out here. Like, I was just, I didn't know what to do. And then literally Araceli sent me a message. She was like, hey, I'm throwing Adam a surprise birthday party at this place. And in my head, I'm like, I know he's a popular dude. So I'm like, oh, this might be like a pretty big party. So I showed up. It was like me and like 8 of his closest friends.
No.
Like, so like I'm meeting this dude like Mike, who's known him since he was like 10 years old or something. Like since Mike was like young. He's like, how do you know Adam? I was like, oh, dude, I met him like 2 weeks ago for like an hour, you know. But it was really cool. We were sitting up there, we were smoking weed on the top of this roof, and like I was just like, damn, I want to work for Strong Coffee. Okay. And so it was like, because I love the branding, the intentionality behind it, and then I listened to a couple podcasts of him, and I just really aligned with like his mission and his vision and his creativeness and like all this shit, and I was like, fuck. So I just kept hitting him up and hitting him up. The only thing I know how to do is be persistent. You know. And so he finally, it wasn't even him, it was our boy Pat, was like, hey, why don't you come do some content for us? And I was like, all right, cool. So I was just doing content. And then he called me like last minute one day and he was like, do you want to go to New York tomorrow? And I was like, yeah. And I went to New York with him. And then kind of since then, just kind of really felt a part of like Strong Coffee. You know what
awesome.
I mean?
Yeah. I mean, at the time that he was reaching out to me, Strong Coffee had grown over 150% in the course of 30 days.
Wow. Nice.
So I was navigating a certain amount of online growth, running out of product, like trying to figure things out. And I was pouring, in any other side time I had, I was pouring into Pat, who was new to email marketing, but I was and doing things in that nature that him and I was sharing a lot with him and
digital marketing landscape,
guiding his hand in digital marketing landscape. Even though I personally wasn't using Klaviyo or things in the past, I understood how to use it to our benefit and how to think in the, you know, buyer psychology,
yeah,
you know, aspects and like what we need to work on and build through. And so Pat took care of him, and then it all just kind of worked out. And, you know, I mean, ultimately I liked Caleb when I met him at the party, and I was like, well, if he really wants to do what he says he wants to do, which is come work with me, right, then he will be persistent.
Yeah.
Because if he's anything like the person that I want around me, that's what I would do.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I mean, I tell people all the time, like, you want to get a hold of somebody, don't just hit them up on Instagram, right, get their LinkedIn, like do this, like,
yeah, yeah,
you know, whatever you can, because the goal is to get a hold of this person.
Totally.
Right. Boom, be persistent in action.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Love that. Yeah. Too many people just have some opportunity and they meet a guy like, you know, that I have a potential job here, send one email, don't hear a response, give up.
Yeah,
like, totally. Dude, come on. What are you doing? You know?
Yeah, so. One email is the basic barrier of entry.
Right.
Like, you want to be the best, right? Yeah. I mean, and that's why STRONG stands for striving to reach our natural greatness, because ultimately, like, the people that I want to spend time with and be around are those that want, you know, greatness in their life, and whatever that is for them, you know, it doesn't have to be success measured by money or, you know, physicality or whatever it is, but seek to be really good at something.
Absolutely.
And that takes time and energy.
Yep. Discipline.
And discipline. Yeah.
Dude, love that, man. Love that. I mean, you've had a pretty crazy career just from the intro. You can see, I mean, you've done a lot
that
of shit.
That intro was magical, bro. magical.
You liked it. Yeah. Did I get everything right there? No, I mean, miss
you
anything?
Totally, you killed it.
Okay. But I mean, you've done a lot of things, and you know, now how long has Strong Coffee been around? When were you guys founded?
I started it. I mean, a little jump back. I started it originally in 2013.
Okay.
And there was an opportunity that came up. I saw that there was no innovation in this space that I thought was really cool, where this butter MCT coffee was so popular, but me being like a meathead, you know, wanting, like, caring about my muscle and, you know, this and that, I wanted protein in mind. So I was making this crazy concoction, but I also just didn't want protein. I wanted L-theanine because I wanted to balance my serotonin or...
Sure.
There was always something that I kept on just adding to it. And ultimately, when I like came to the idea that strong coffee could, you know, grow into something that could be packaged, you know, it came really just from the idea at the time that my dad was sick. And I wanted to be able to... Sorry, I'm not feeling really well. Can I take a second?
Yeah, absolutely.
No problem, bro.
Dude, you're fine.
Dude, you're totally good.
Yeah, what were we talking about?
Just kind of the founding of Strong Coffee.
Yeah.
So you kind of left off where your dad was ill. Kind of.
Yeah. So my dad was ill, and I tried giving him like this really crazy concoction of things. Like, I dropped off like 6 bottles at his house, and I was like, brew your coffee and then put all this shit in there. And my dad was going through, you know, chemotherapy for his leukemia.
Oh, man.
So his appetite was just shit, right? So he was still drinking his coffee, though, out of habit. I mean, the power of habits.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I thought if I could make his habit healthier, perhaps he would get more nutrients in his day.
Yeah.
Right? And not feel so frail and lethargic. So when... He came to the kitchen, he's like, oh, I'm not going to do this. It was like a ridiculous amount of shit. So I went home and I measured it all and I put it in a big Ziploc bag and found a scooper that was like the right size. And I was like, do 2 of these and a cup of coffee.
Okay.
And that got packaged like 2 months later. Well, my daughter's born, you know, within some short period of time. And then 3 months later, my dad passes away. And I just didn't have the energy to commit to that and owning a gym.
Yeah.
Being a new father.
Right.
You know, just losing my dad. You know, so it was, there was a lot happening in that manner. And then, man, within like weeks of my dad passing, NBC is knocking at my door, you know, about this TV show.
Yeah.
And Versace, you know, reaches out to me to do this modeling deal with them. And it was just like boom, 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 like 10 hit combo kind of thing, you know, and I'm dodging lefts and rights, you know. So I shut down Strong Coffee after, you know, only running it for a couple of months.
Okay.
And knowing that I had a good idea, you know, it was tough. But then in 2018, a friend of mine comes up to me and he goes, "What is this?" And he shows his cell phone screen to me, shoves it in my face. You know, I'm kind of like, whoa, geez, you know, and I'm enjoying a smoothie at his smoothie shop. And he's like, "What is this?" He's like, "Do you still own this?" And it's a memory from Facebook.
Oh, no.
And it was a memory of me in this food magazine in Milwaukee when I was featured because of the idea.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Oh, man, yeah, you know, that's something I, you know, did." And he's like, "Do you still own the rights to this?" And I'm like, "I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, I let all the intellectual property go." Well, I hopped on my phone. He's like, "You need to do this again."
Yeah.
So I hop on my phone and I go to GoDaddy and strongcoffeecompany.com is available. You know,
boom, snatch it up,
buy it.
Yeah.
Go to Instagram. It's available. I grab it. I still had the Twitter because I had the login from. So I opened that up and in 3 months I had a working sample that I had already done three reiterations.
Oh,
too.
Nice. Okay.
And I was traveling around as an MC for fitness shows on the weekends.
Okay.
From, you know, training.
Yeah.
Right. So I, in trade, instead of getting money to be an MC, I would get a $2,000 booth for free.
Nice.
So I would set up a banner with a sample section with a survey.
Okay.
Is it too sweet? Sweet enough? You know, like I would ask these questions to try to understand what I'm making here. And then I'd walk around to all these influencers. I'd be like, "Hey, you want a cup of coffee?" They can't leave their booths.
Yeah.
So it's like, of course they're going to say yes to like a iced latte at 8 a.m. or 9 a.m.
Yeah.
You know, so it was a great icebreaker. And that's how I started it. You know, it was a couple months later, I was training this guy for the first time. He answers the door. He's just wearing his underwear and a t-shirt. And it's like 5:30 a.m. And he's like, "Oh, you know, sorry, I'm overslept a little bit." I'm like, "Not a big deal." He's like, "Yeah, I'd offer you some coffee, but I don't have any." I'm like, "Not a big deal." I'm like, "You know, actually, I have some coffee in my car. It's not like normal coffee, but, you know, it's got all this great stuff in it." He's like, "Oh, that sounds amazing." I'm like, "Cool. Well, you go put some pants on and I'll go grab this coffee." And he comes downstairs and I make the coffee for him. And he's like, "Wow, this is amazing." You know, and at the time, like, I mean, it's gotten hundreds and hundreds of times better tasting.
Okay.
You know, and he thought it was amazing. And I thought it was amazing that he thought it was amazing. You know, this is a guy that's living in a $10 million plus house, you know, with a $60,000 espresso machine.
Yeah.
You know, and he's loving this coffee that I'm giving to him. And
your coffee.
My coffee. And then his wife comes down, who's, you know, at the time, like, the editor for, you know, digital or like co-editor or whatever it was for Rolling Stones, you know, like,
oh, wow,
a very educated, you know, traveled like individual. And she's like, "This is amazing." And I'm like, "Holy shit." And Ben's like, "Holy shit. You think it's amazing?" And about an hour later, he calls me. He's like, "Hey, how do we get more of that stuff?" And I'm like, "I gave you guys the last 3 scoops I had."
Oh, wow.
And he's like, "Well, how do we get more?" And I was like, "Well, I start the company and I make more and I get this thing going." He's like, "Well, let's do it."
Hell yeah.
And I got, you know, a small investment.
Okay.
And got things moving.
Nice, man.
And that was in like the, like right 2018, like April of 2018.
Dude. So, and you still, I mean, you have, just from your intro plus how you said, you know, all these opportunities came your way, you put it to the side. Were you just doing gym stuff at the time or what?
No. No. I mean, let's put it this way. Becoming an entrepreneur, passing out there for a half a second made me kind of lose little parts of the story. So that water really helps.
If you need another Garb, you can juice you up. Garb's ready.
Well, water is better. H2O is good. So man, what was I doing? You know, I moved. So I had this gym and I had just finished filming Strong. And that was the TV show I was on NBC.
Okay. Yep.
Before I left for NBC, I shot my first campaign at Versace.
Yeah. Which they recruited you.
They recruited me.
That's so you didn't seek to be a model or anything.
No. I mean, we could talk about the modeling thing for half a second. You know, modeling was totally on accident. So I had finished my fighting career. I had an injured shoulder and I was dating a girl who had an agent, and I met her agent and she was like, I would love to represent you. So our first, I got like in the first 2 weeks that I lived in LA, I auditioned for 7 movies as like major roles.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it was wild. Yeah. Some of these names that were on these roles, and I would be like supporting actors, and
damn,
I was like, whoa, you know, but at the time Hollywood was desperately looking for masculine men.
Okay.
That could play these kind of badass roles, you know, the guy's actually tattooed, or
yeah,
you know, the guy actually looks like he could take a punch.
Yeah.
You know, like Daniel Craig and James Bond, like sure. He literally looks like he could take a punch. You know, he's rough. He's the roughest, you know, and Hollywood was like too pretty for a little bit.
Yeah.
So I had all these things happen, and the first like thing that I was really confident in was Biggest Loser, and I was going in to go be a trainer.
Okay.
Well, neither me or this girl that I'm dating get it. We both auditioned for the same part, or the same, you know, the same show. And year after year, they kept following up. And they'd be like, oh, just submit like another video real quick. And I'd be like, ah, blah, blah, blah. Well, 5 years later, you know, they're like, hey. And I'm like, oh man, you know, I've got the time right now. Like I just lost my dad. Like I just had a kid. Like we're actually having another one come. They're like, no, Adam, like you have this, like you're in. You know, no audition process.
Wow.
You do have to send us another video just because we need you to say very specific things.
Yeah.
But they're like, you're in. Like they want you.
Okay.
And I'm like, all right, cool. So I went through the process, flew in, met them, and all of a sudden I'm on this TV show. You know, and it was fucking crazy, you know, because I always wanted to be one of the top trainers in America.
Okay.
And that's like what my goal was, right? Yeah. And that show basically like put the crown on that achievement.
Okay.
And allowed me to do that.
Yeah.
And this was all after this accidental modeling career that of why they wanted me. Mm. So they, and this is me like full transparency. So they casted me, and this was after me going out to New York. And the first time I went out to New York, I was introduced by my cousin, and he was like a famous model at one time. And he found me on Facebook, and he was like a second cousin. He's like, are you related to this person and this person? I'm like, yeah, that's my aunt and uncle.
No way.
He's like, dude, you look just like me. How tall are you? And I'm, you know, not 6 foot. I'm like 5'11". He's like 6'3". He's like, I feel like with photos today, you'd be able to crush it. So he introduces me to an agent.
Yeah.
And the agent is down in Chicago. I drive down, and the agent's like, this is WWF. This is Hollywood. He's like, get your body to like Hollywood.
Okay.
You know, he's like, lose 30 pounds.
Oh, wow.
And I was like 225 pounds.
Yeah, this you're like probably right like rocked. Those, like,
I was. Jacked, I was jacked, right?
Yeah.
Right? I come back 40 days later, 30 pounds lighter.
Damn.
I was a fighter. I was used to cutting weight. Okay. So I just cut from like 225 to like 196, like my fighting weight.
Yeah.
So
there we go. Let's get him the big dog. Stop fucking around with these little ass cuffs. Jesus.
For those of you at home, I almost passed out off camera because I had not drank water all fucking day. Sat at the beach and then drank a beer here. These things should come with a warning. So that's how I get introduced to an agent. So I come back 45 days later. The agent's like, holy fuck. He's like, you're ready.
Yeah.
So I fly out to New York, stay in this shitty little place on Bowery Street. You know, this Asian-owned hotel that's like sharing bathrooms with other people on the floor.
Wow.
It's, yeah, I mean, just a total dive. Like, I have no money.
Yeah.
Me and my wife just got married. And I'm there on what's called like go-sees and test shoots. So I'm just taking photos with people that want to shoot me.
Okay.
And then...
So they're just telling you like time, place, show up here.
Exactly. You have no idea what.
Be ready to go.
Well... A lot of the industry, and this is a great little off, way off fucking subject of things that we were talking about, but you know, this was like at the time pre to like the Me Too thing.
Okay.
Right. So I get flown out to New York by my agent who knows all these other photographers. And yes, they are all very good photographers. Some of them very famous.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them not famous anymore because of the things they were doing.
Oh, wow.
And I was involved in some of the things that they were doing.
Really?
Where these photos ended up surfacing on the internet that shouldn't have. And I also shouldn't have allowed myself to get in situations where all of a sudden I was like getting naked.
Sure.
But it's literally do that or go the fuck home and don't ever work.
Right.
And I found that out. Like hardcore later on when Tony Duran, you know, this famous photographer, tried, you know, sneaking into my bed and I was not fucking having it. And the next day that I'm supposed to shoot with Rihanna, all of a sudden magically I don't have the photo shoot anymore.
Oh, yeah.
And it was to shoot with her, you know, and me and my wife, we like did this like giggle dance before I jumped on the plane because I was just about to go make like... $20,000+,
right?
You know, in a day's worth of work, you know, we'd buy a house and like I was like, oh shit, pick out a house,
yeah.
You know, and so like you know that the modeling, you know, led to the TV stuff,
yeah,
and then the TV stuff led to me moving out to California, and then my relationships just skyrocketed. I went from training house moms. And the occasional Pauly Shore trip where like Pauly Shore would fly me out to go do things because we met on a beach one time years earlier in Miami.
Yeah.
But I'm in actually one of his documentaries.
Really?
No. Yeah. 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 Yes.
Pauly Shore's trainer right here. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. The weasel. He'd be like, don't do that, bros. Yeah. No, he's a very good person. I met him on a beach at a Miami model volleyball thing, and I was there for men's health, and they're like, hey, that's Pauly Shore, go interview him. And I was like, cool.
Yeah.
You know, and went and interviewed Pauly Shore.
Hit it off.
And he was like, dude, you're from Wisconsin? He's like, my parents are from Wisconsin. And that was kind of the thing.
Okay.
Like where he always said like good people are from the Midwest.
Okay.
You know, so he dug that.
Yeah.
So then I move out to LA and I start training, you know, Joakim Noah, Ray Lewis, YG the rapper, Mark Ballas, you know, the dancer, like all these create, you know, the heads of studio houses like Miramax and I was in.
Yeah.
I was in, bro. So it all kind of like I had to go through some weird shit, you know, to get there and like some like downs, you know, but when I got to LA and I met these types of people, that's like when my life really, like I understood what I could do with, you know, persistence.
Yeah.
And when I started training entrepreneurs and not celebrities, mm-hmm. I saw what I really could do.
Okay.
And that was taking like, oh, well, I owned a gym. I've done this. I've done that. Like, what if I could do this like on a really big scale?
Yeah.
And take something that I absolutely love, like Strong Coffee, and I had that opportunity with these entrepreneurs that I was training.
Yeah.
And then they all believed in me and they all kind of threw some money in.
That's awesome.
Blake, the founder of Tom's, who became like a shark.
Yeah,
he did
yeah.
a couple of shark visits. I mean, he invested in me like right away.
Damn.
Yeah.
Dope, man.
Yeah. So it was, that was where it all started, and then it's, you know, now led us to here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can we talk just about your training specifically? Because you kind of have your own training philosophy, right?
Yeah.
Like, tell us a little bit about that. Like,
yeah,
why are so many people so interested to work with you versus any other trainer?
Yeah. I used to question that all the time. Okay. You know, I remember when I got on that TV show, and it was our first filming, and nobody really knew anything about anybody, right, of these top 10 trainers in the world, and we're all jacked, and we know that we have to compete against one another.
Yeah.
Right? So at this point, everybody is an opponent.
Yeah.
And when they're doing like the announcing of who's who, and they're like, trainer to Tom Cruise and blah, 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 you know, and they call me out.
Yeah.
There was really nothing that they could say.
Okay.
Like, I wasn't this highly, you know, accomplished trainer or anything. I was somebody who had a gym, who got into kettlebells really early. I actually wrote one of the first articles for, you know, on it for MMA and kettlebells, nice. Like the significance of how they work together. And yeah. I had a very different mindset because as a kid, I grew up doing martial arts and I had gymnastics and I played soccer. So I played a lot of unconventional things. Mm-hmm. So I looked at movement just a little differently.
Yeah.
And with every injury that I sustained in fighting, I found a new path that would allow me to not get injured again like that, which then allowed me to discover different movement patterns.
Okay.
And I just kept on that evolution, and I was very early on in what like they called like the movement culture, you know, in that kind of world of Ido Portal and you know, MoveNat, and I was very, you know, just kind of early into that, but I didn't know about any of it. I was just on my own in the Midwest.
Yeah.
Kind of just discovering and moving, you know.
So
I get
you were inventing stuff, just with messing around. With
I mean,
mobility, pliability stuff. Like, just,
I would get, you know, I would get high, and I would crawl around on the floor like an animal.
Yeah,
and I then would like switch to a gymnastic skill.
Okay,
but not clean. I would keep it like dirty, like a handstand into, you know, like shoot down and then do like a, you know, a front handspring or something, right? You know, and, you know, and then do a back tuck and like roll around on the floor. And it was just whatever it was.
Yeah, flowing.
Just flowing, right? And making myself feel good instead of always loading just tons of weight and compression. But what I always believed is that you should still pick up heavy things off the floor.
Okay.
So I had this mindset that you should pick heavy shit up off the ground.
Yeah.
Right. And you should move your body in all sorts of directions.
Yeah.
And I would use a lot of kind of like energy transfer when I would train people.
Okay.
Which I think is why I connected with every high performer, because they would have this very stressful day.
Yeah.
And I would give them like a oomph. Right.
Nice.
You know, if that was like a cold, dead stare in their eye, you know, I'd be like, how you doing today?
Yeah.
You know, and they'd be like, fine. I'd be like, are you ready for this? Like, are you fucking ready for this?
Yeah.
You know, and they'd be like, you know, they'd be like, I'd be like, you know, and I'd give it to them, you know, whatever it was, or, you know, it would just me, you know, doing handstands, or like knowing that today I have to punch this guy in the face and he's got to punch me in the face. Like, we're going to spar.
Yeah.
Like, you're too heavy, bro. Like, I'm going to lighten you up a little bit. You know, I'm going to knock that chip off your shoulder.
Yeah.
I'd like, put the gloves on, you know, and just understanding, I never came in with a plan because I always look to read the individual. Cause like my background, I had so much time in sales that I was always just reading the customer.
Yeah.
You know, and I was just, because if I came in there with a plan and it doesn't fit the mood, but I stick to it based off a principle, it's like I'm not actually helping them.
Yeah.
Because they don't really give a shit about getting stronger. They just want to be better.
Right, right.
Right? Where it's like all these trainers come from this extreme mindset of, oh, I'm going to get my person to a 225 deadlift. And man, those numbers don't really matter. I mean,
no.
It's really like their goal is just to feel better, look better, right? Yeah. And if they get to 225 or whatever imaginary number, you know, means that you've succeeded as their coach. I mean, if somebody seeks out to be like a powerlifting coach, like I under, you know, a powerlifter.
Yeah, it's different. You're competing and stuff. Yeah.
But sure. None of these people wanted that.
No.
Right?
Yeah.
They pay $200 an hour.
Yeah.
To not get hurt.
Yeah.
And to look good naked.
Yeah.
Right?
And be able to move.
And be able to move. And have somebody show up at their house that they can trust.
Yeah.
Right? And you know that you're a trustworthy dude when, I mean, I trained Blake, the founder of Tom's, for 3 years. Like, you know what I mean? The guy's worth, you know,
yeah,
hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, right? Yeah. He still texts me today when he comes into Austin if I can train him or who I trust to train him.
Nice.
You know, it's like same with like Ray Lewis. I'll still get a text message like, hey, man, what do you think about this?
Wow.
You know, and I'm like, I mean, I haven't worked with him in 5 years, you know, in that sense.
Dude, that's amazing. I mean, Ray seems like such an incredibly intense
He met
individual.
Him. We had quite like, the story.
Dude,
we had quite the story in Vegas.
No way.
Yeah.
Here now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. There was like a group of people. Well, first it was funny because Adam's like, dude, where are you going? Where are we walking? And I was like, I don't know, man. I'm just following it. Like,
yeah.
I'm just rolling, you know? And then like there's like this crowd of people watching someone get into a limo, and Adam's like, oh, who was that? And they were like, oh, it was Ray Lewis. And Adam's like, oh, I know Ray. And like, you know, but like because he tells you these stories, right? Like of his past, but then it's funny when stuff comes into
food. Yeah, like, when he says, yo, yeah, what's up? And then Ray's like,
oh,
yo,
no,
Adam, what's
no,
up?
He called Ray Lewis and he answered. He answered like right away. What's up, Adam? What are you? Yeah. Dude, we're in Vegas. He's like, oh, dude, what? Come to this cigar bar. So we go to this cool cigar bar, and yeah, it was Michael Vick and Ray. Michael Vick was there. It was Tyler. Was like,
Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, Marshawn Lynch. It was like a Raiders
Ray Lewis.
Thing.
I mean, everybody was there.
Yeah.
Oh, his hand is huge.
Dude, yeah. Ray Lewis is the first time I shook his hand, I was like, holy shit.
So that guy, okay, like just watching him for years and just like, I mean, I played football in high school and I was an outside linebacker, but always like, we always just watch Ray, just the mentality, everything. And just,
yeah.
So like, I mean, that guy seems so intense, so like, so built, so like, how do you approach an elite athlete like that? And you know,
well, I mean,
as a trainer coming in, you got to be a little intimidated the first time you're going to work with a
not
guy
at
like,
all. I mean,
really,
I had worked with Olympic sand volleyball players.
Okay. So you had stacked up. You have worked with major athletes.
I had trained, you know, a professional soccer team. I had worked, you know, with Joakim Noah. I had worked with, you know, the best big wave surfers in the world,
okay,
like all these different things. And what I was always amazed with it was how the lack of movement intelligence, how low it was.
Sure.
Elite athletes.
Okay.
What happens to become an elite athlete, like if you're an elite basketball player, you become really, really good at basketball.
Yeah.
So everything around your body is built around the idea of being better at basketball, like your
right,
compensation muscles,
yeah,
the way your mind even thinks.
Yeah.
Right? Where it's like, I think the most adaptive athletes are soccer players,
okay,
because the way their feet have to move with their body going in different directions, like,
yeah, yeah,
and then their feet are moving and the ball, their feet move differently and they rotate a lot.
Okay.
Where it's like involving your feet with your hands in different directions and movement patterns for somebody who maybe like played just baseball or something.
Yeah.
It doesn't relate. Right. So when I would meet somebody, they would do moves that, you know, the entire workout, every single thing was like, I've never done this before.
Wow.
I've never done this before.
Yeah.
What does this do? I've never done this before. And my goal wasn't to be like, it was never gimmicky exercises.
Sure.
I knew what I knew through practice and, you know, education. I mean, I traveled to Thailand to work with Ido and Vancouver to work with Ido. Right. And I had spent about 3 weeks and then I did about a year's worth of online coaching with them to understand a totally different philosophy outside of what I knew, which was all power training,
okay,
like power building,
yeah,
deadlifting 600 pounds, right? Moving a lot of weight. And then I just found, you know, a combination of the two to really be like the most efficient.
Yeah.
Right. Where it's like, well, I should be able to like pull myself up and get over this thing.
Yeah.
Right. So in my gym, we called it like, you know, the tiger, like, you know, you have to be able to get over this bar, right? No matter how high this bar is, you have to find a way, because like if the tiger can get up there, you know, you need to be able to like, yeah, right? It's like escaping the tiger.
Yeah.
Right. And people would just like, we'd fuck around with them. But like, you know, it was just the idea of like getting over an obstacle that you can't imagine. Because when people look at something like a muscle up,
yeah,
they just be like, whoa, right, I'll never be able to do that. And it's like, well, not with that attitude.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Man. Interesting. So it seems like these elite athletes are coming to you almost for injury prevention, building.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Motions in so that they can.
That's what it was. Okay. I mean, Joakim just got done with he had a bad injury. I think it was his shoulder. Yeah. It was shoulder. Yeah. So he was with it was like right after he got signed by the Knicks, and I was doing stuff with Laird Hamilton and Gabrielle Reese with the XPT pool training, and they were bringing me in for all their events to do mobility and movement with these people. And I was at like an after like beach set, and Joakim walks in, and you know, one of the people there were like, I was literally sitting there talking to McNamara, you know, having like a conversation with a tennis legend. I mean, it was fucking crazy. And then Joakim Noah walks in, and she's like, oh my God. She grabs me. She goes, you have to meet Joakim. Work on his shoulder. And so I sat there and worked on his shoulder for like 30 minutes with him.
Okay.
You know, we're all just chilling at the beach. You know, people are playing, you know, the beanbag toss. And, you know, it's just like $20 million Malibu beach home, you know, and yeah, I mean, it was just fucking wild. Paradise. I was like, how am I here right now? You know, I mean, I was just training house moms for $50 an hour.
Getting the call from Laird to come into his, he has like a legendary whole program, right? I mean, stuff he does is crazy.
Yeah. I mean, he kind of kept evolving because of like injuries and stuff. I mean, I didn't fully agree with all things XPT.
Okay.
Because I do believe that you need to still load your body with a certain amount of resistance. You can't lift all your weight underwater.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
You know, and things like that, even though you think it's better for the joint, it's not.
Okay.
Because you actually do need to load the joint with a certain amount of load to have a adaption.
Okay.
And an adaption is developing greater bone density.
Okay.
So without impact, there's not actually a response. So therefore,
we live in, that's the world we're operating in.
You need compression, right? Because
of
gravity, you need force.
Yeah.
And force creates bone density.
Yeah.
So people, you know, if you're hearing this, like just jumping up and there and down on the floors, you know, things that will develop bone density in your whole body.
Okay, yeah.
So, I mean, but like the injury, my mindset came from a place where like I got hurt, but I never stopped believing that strong was the way, right? I always knew that I had to be strong and have a certain, I just needed greater range of mobility and strength paired together.
Okay.
Where it was like a lot of people get strong and they lose mobility, or people get really mobile and they lose strength, like a yogi.
Yeah.
Where it's like, how do I put the two together?
Yeah.
And like Ito and them, I felt like we're doing it the best.
Okay.
So I, you know, took some of that thought process and applied it to other things that I knew, and just kind of came up with my own thing.
Dude, freaking awesome, man.
Yeah.
Sounds like you're building or have built just amazing hybrid athletes who could do anything.
Yeah.
Anything.
It's been badass for sure. Yeah. I mean, Caleb's like, dude, you should train me for a fight. So I'm like, all right.
Trying to get in the
he wants to get into a ring one time.
Okay.
Which I totally support, because I feel like if you have an itch, you should definitely scratch it.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's, you know, I mean, I scratch that itch plenty of times.
Sure.
And, you know, I probably would have, if I could like go back, I probably would not have done so many fights.
Okay.
You know, just because like the way my neck feels at times or something. But it was an incredible experience getting into the ring.
Were you fighting MMA or were you in a different discipline? Or
I did. So I did kickboxing and MMA.
Okay.
And jiu-jitsu competitions. Okay. So, and it was all very fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like 3 months into jiu-jitsu and I'm doing my first competition.
Dang. Okay.
And I did pretty well. So then they were like, dude, with your style of like wrestling, you do really well in MMA. I was like, sign me up, you know? And yeah. I was on that journey because my brother died, you know? So my brother died of a drug overdose. And, the next morning I get a call from my sister and, you know, this is like the news I'm being given. And my life just like was like it just felt like everything was just echoing, right? Yeah. And this radio commercial just came on. It was just like echoing in my head because I listened to the commercial and I like clicked the radio off. And it was for the Milwaukee Rumble, looking for the toughest man in the Midwest. Are you the guy? You're like, come to Hal's Harley Davidson and sign up and find out, you know? And it's, you know, $2,000 to the grand prize winner, you know?
Early MMA days right there.
And I'm like, yeah, I am that guy, you know, because like after, like, I didn't think that in my head, but after I got there, I wasn't able to see my brother because they were like, kind of like investigating the scene. Right. Okay. So they weren't going to let me see him. So I leave and I go to this like little antique shop, like down the street, and I pick up this like $200 plate and I drop it on accident. And I like kind of like tears just like fill up my eyes. And the lady's like, oh my God, honey, it's just a plate. It's just a plate. And my girlfriend at the time is like, his brother just died. And they were like, oh my God, you know? And so they, you know, kind of were like, don't worry about it. And I like walked out the door and I was like, I want to go to Hal's Harley Davidson. And I went and signed up for a fight. And 2 weeks later I fought. And after that, I got introduced to this jiu-jitsu coach. At the night of the fight, this old school kickboxer named Horace Kraft, you know, came up to me. He's like, dude, you got a lot of talent, like, but you seem super angry. And I told him what happened. He's like, I understand. He's like, I'm losing my wife to cancer right now. Oh, and man. We, like, bonded.
Yeah.
And we started training and just beating the shit out of each other. And, like, he was a legit. I mean, he was like close to being a world champ in kickboxing at the time. He fought like Dennis Alexio, like the guy from like the real kickboxer movie, the one that's in the wheelchair from the movie, like Kickboxer with Jean-Claude Van Damme. Yeah, that was Dennis Alexio in the wheelchair.
Okay.
So he was a kickboxing legend and Horace fought him back in like the 80s.
Wow.
And he became my coach and he had the key to this little shack in the middle of a park that I always wondered what it was because it just looked like this like dilapidated building and it was just big enough for a boxing ring and a walk around space, but it was owned by Native Americans because this guy named Ace, who was like a boxing legend out of Milwaukee, was a Native American and they couldn't tear down the building and Horace had the key to it. He was like one of two people.
Wow.
So we'd go and train in this place and like, dude, the boxing mat was soaked in blood. Oh, I mean, it was just, I mean, you're talking about a place that has been there since like the 60s.
Wow.
And like looked like it hadn't been cleaned since the 90s.
Holy shit.
And about 2 years of doing that, I moved to Minnesota and went and trained with Martial Arts Academy and met all these other crazy fighters and I got really into it. Damn. I mean, I was, you know, I was fighting professionally.
Freaking awesome.
Yeah, it was wild. It was while also working as a union electrician.
Okay, that's where that comes in. Okay, at that time. That
yeah, yeah, yeah. So I was working as a union electrician the whole time. And I had 2 years left in my apprenticeship. And I was like, fuck, I need to get the hell out of Milwaukee. Like, there's no good MMA gyms for me to really progress. Mm. I was wrong. Duke Rufus is there. I just also wanted to get out of my city, at the same time because of like, I was still dealing with what, you know, losing my brother and a new change of scenery would really help. So I I lied my ass off to the union about like needing to transfer because like I had a great aunt up there that needed me to like help her with her cares or, you know, something. And they like, cause it was only like family emergencies that they would allow. So, you know, they're like, okay. So they transferred me to the union up there where the martial arts academy was.
Okay.
And I was able to, you know, go train with like the world's best. Like at the time, Brock Lesnar was fighting Sean Sherk, like Matt Hughes would come up there to train. Yeah. Wow. You know, there was like six world champions there at a time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Greg Nelson, who was my coach, who cornered my first fight with them. He was considered the top super coach in the world, like 5 years in a row by like MMA magazine.
How much do you think being around just these elite individuals, and it sounds by just from the choices you made and the things that have happened to you, it seems like you've carried that on through several iterations, you know?
Yeah.
Like the MMA thing just happened. You got to this, got to that gym. You're around incredible people.
Yeah.
The LA thing, the modeling thing, the, you know, the entrepreneur, the training, like seems like you've always had been attracting these incredible people. What's, you know, what's kind of, it's just been, it's been your ability just to go after what the hell you want to do. It's kind of what I'm learning from this conversation, that, and you're getting put in the right places and then you're able to capitalize on, not cap, I don't know if that's the best word.
I don't think that's a bad word,
but you know,
if you
elevate, to another level, take it to another level.
What do you think that is?
Well, yeah, it's funny. I mean, a lot of things come up because it's like Adam has a really good, a bit like he talks about adaptation. And I think like that's one of the main things. Like it doesn't matter the room that we're going into, it's like he knows a little bit about everything, right? And he has like this Renaissance man attitude, which is what attracted me to him and his art, his attention to detail, right? Like he thinks like an artist. So like he's always coming from an authentic point of view, but he's gonna make what he wants to make.
Yeah.
But he can also talk to you about movement or nutrition, or he's done this one thing. He worked as a union electrician, so he knows that, right? Like he just comes from so many different areas that make him very cultured. And I think it just speaks volumes into everything that's done because it's so intentional.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's very, it's just cultured. It's very cultured. And then like, you know, Sam Dancer was talking today, like, it's just like, you gotta, he's always taken a couple before he gets one in, right? And it's just these people that overcome adversity and perseverance. It's like, you don't want to be around anybody that hasn't had to work for anything or hasn't felt like a rock bottom or had to burn the boats a couple, like more than a couple times, right? And then just seeing it like, you know, like I said, it's one thing to hear these stories, but then to see it and watch everything build and the dedication, it's like, you know, I mean, it's just this striving to reach your natural greatness, you know, our natural greatness. I mean, it is the brand. Like, that's what you're tasting.
Yeah.
And we had this realization on the beach the other day about, like, you know, we both love service. And when you're serving this coffee to people, it's like, we were talking to Sam Dancer. There's very few times I feel so fulfilled, like, doing something like serving this coffee. I'm like, dude, same. Like, I love serving this coffee to people. People love it, right? And it's this act of service where it's like, hey, just let me help you.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's all he's ever trying to do is help people be better, right? The coffee, just to help you be better. So it's very just intentional with like authentically trying to help you reach your greatest potential. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I mean, I gave up a lot of money monthly to start Strong Coffee.
Sure.
And live off of a startup type of salary that it was one third of what I was making, you know, and it was because when I owned a gym, I helped hundreds, right? Maybe thousands.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, like in a month, but like over the lifetime, I mean, thousands and thousands of that gym.
Yeah.
Right. I trained people for free because they needed it and couldn't afford it. Right. Because I saw that they wanted it.
Yeah.
Right. I was on a TV show where hundreds of thousands and millions of people saw movement differently because I got to show them.
Yeah.
And then I went and trained a bunch of very rich individuals that didn't really need me. You know, they wanted me.
Yeah.
But like, only six people were buying all my time. And most of them held on to me for years.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I was only now helping like six people. One could argue by that, by making them healthier as entrepreneurs, they were able to do more for their businesses,
sure,
and so on and so forth. A downfall, you know, kind of effect.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I wanted direct impact.
Yeah.
So getting Strong Coffee off the ground was really my way of seeing how I could really actually impact more people by giving them, if they're anything like me, a little bit more time back by making a product that was instant.
Yeah.
You know, that had all the nutrient needs that you would want out of like a, you know, a serving of oatmeal or, you know, two eggs or like whatever it is, and your coffee.
Yeah.
And then, you know, be able to give them this time back and then the nutrition that they need. You know, it was just like, this is my next thing. So I burned the boats. You know, I went from, you know, being offered a job from like Peter Thiel, you know, and turning down an opportunity with Peloton for almost $200,000 a year to be like a trainer on their, you know, on their channel, to run a coffee company that I had no idea whether it was going to succeed or not. I mean, even the very people that invested were like, I don't think it'll ever compete in coffee, but like, if you just really focus on supplements, I think you'll do well. You know, and then Whole Foods picks us up globally in the coffee section.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I had no idea what the fuck I was doing, and we're getting a global distribution deal with Whole Foods.
Amazing.
You know, like 2.5 years into the company's, you know, 3 years into the company's, you know, game.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, huh, well, I guess we're doing something in coffee here, you know. You best believe, you know.
We're on the aisle now.
Right. And I think, like, to answer the question, you know, myself, on, you know, to put onto what, you know, Caleb was saying, is like, Caleb reminds me, like, I am the one, you know, like, I am that guy, you know, and it's like, remember to be that guy. And during the time that I was training, it was very obvious that I was that guy, you know, and I was never arrogant, but I was confidently myself.
Yeah.
And those that didn't like it are weak-minded. And if you're weak-minded, you're not going to like me.
Yeah.
But if you are anything like me, you will love me.
Yeah.
Right? It was everybody else that had something to say about, you know, he's always, you know, moving or like whatever. It's like, fuck you, like, in your little judgy ass. Like, am I sitting there judging you about being kind of fat? You know, like, you know, whatever, being late all the time?
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to be me.
Yeah.
And people get afraid of that.
Sure.
You know, that scares a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like, why is that guy so fucking happy to be himself? You know, and somebody one time, you know, the same guy that got me to start Strong Coffee back up, I once heard him say something about me, and I thought it was negative, but he didn't mean it in a negative way. He said Adam would be the biggest trainer in LA if he just kept his mouth shut. And I was like, man, fuck him. You know, and at the time I'm like training Neil Strauss and helping him. I'm like his performance coach. I'm like waking him up in the morning, the author, Neil Strauss.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm picking him up in the morning to get him to the writer's house, making him breakfast, like sitting him down, making him write. He had to finish a book and a deadline, so he needed like help.
Yeah.
Right? Mindset.
Right.
Okay. Discipline.
Yeah.
You know, he was just became a dad. He was like, I want to get disciplined like you, waking up super early and eating what you eat, drinking what you drink.
Yeah.
You know, I want to tap into that. And I mean, it's been just a wild ride.
Freaking awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like it's about to even get crazier. The path you guys have chose,
you know,
going on is like, I mean, I just speak to that from having the experience I have of starting this is like starting a business and actually and really get going. And when you're going to hit little levels and keep climbing, and every level you get, you just can understand, holy shit, the next level is going to take 10 times more effort, 10 times more focus, more processes, more organization. Like, you know, what I think is amazing is that a lot of the things that you've created in your life or experience translate well into entrepreneurship and running a business. So
yeah,
I think you guys like are going to move fast.
Yeah. I appreciate that, man. I mean, it's, I was saying this yesterday. Every time I get out and serve coffee to the public, I am reinvigorated with how good it is.
Yeah.
Right. And how much people like it when they try it for the first time.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people, you know, don't get out there and do it. They rely on, you know, just digital marketing. You know, it's like, it's always like the same thing. And it's personally because I'm dealing with something that's an experience and like a, you know, a flavor and this and that. Like,
yeah.
And because I love, you know, perfecting it. I want to see people's reactions.
Love that. Yeah.
Right. Like I really, like there are people that take a drink of it and I'm like, and then they're like walking away and I'm like watching them. I'm like, if they don't take another sip in 20 seconds, you know, in the next 10, 20 seconds, they don't like it.
Yeah.
You know, there was this girl at the gym today and she like took a sip of it. And you know, if this is like workstation, she like sets it like this far over. And then I'm thinking to myself like, oh shit, she doesn't like it. You know, and I walk over to the bathroom and then the cup is like closer to her. I'm like, oh, well, she actually got up to grab it. She just maybe didn't imagine sitting as far away from. And then I'm like watching her and then she comes back like an hour later and asks for a refill. I'm like, yeah. Oh, thank God. You know, like in my head, that would have fucking killed me.
Sure.
You know, I'd have been like, what do I have to do to this product to make sure that that person likes it if she really likes black iced coffee and somehow didn't like our black coffee iced?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and that only can happen right there.
Totally.
You know, so it's like, that's worth me being away from my wife and kids to get out to a whole new area. I mean, Scottsdale and San Diego and LA are like, unlike most cities in America, you know, but in the sense of the type of people that are there.
Sure.
But if you could connect with those people.
Yeah.
I mean, those are the people to connect with when it comes to health and wellness and,
yeah, definitely.
You know, a major sector of America that really cares.
Right.
Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
So many beautiful people in Scottsdale, we were saying.
Yeah, Scottsdale's like, wild.
It's like Jesus.
Yeah, Scottsdale's weird like that. Yeah, every time I go there, I am blown away. I'm just like, what the hell is going on in Scottsdale?
Very young, fit demographic of people.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of money there, too. Like, the cars and stuff rolling around.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Dang,
people
dude.
Are very.
Well, so many people got their houses for like $96,000.
Right, I know.
In 2010, yeah, in 2009.
Exactly.
They were buying like 2,000 square foot brand new houses, you know, for $80,000 because the housing market collapsed there. And.
Yeah.
So these people are like house rich.
It. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, they're like, totally. It's like my mortgage is $500 a month and I paid it off, you know, 10 years ago. Yeah. Oh, like, that's why I have a car payment for a Lamborghini of $3,000 a month. Like, fuck it. I'm going in.
Well, yeah, to your point about like, there is nothing better than that personal reaction with your customer delivering the product right there. You know, I really feel what you're saying about how you watch them and interact with it. And it's funny because ours has to do with hair. Like every time I see a guy with long hair, I approach him, hand him a hair tie if I have one on me. If not, typically carry this little card called a referral card. And it has our logo on the front. And then on the back, it says, finally, a place for us to go. And then it's like, visit the long hairs.
I love that.
That's amazing.
And the website and stuff. And, you know, I hand it to the guy. Sometimes I'll just hand it and not really say much and walk away. And they kind of just watch what's going on because they'll read the front and they'll read the back. And then they'll be like, you know, I can see their reaction. And I'm like, oh, yeah, man, he's in. But then other times I've had like made friends just from sitting there doing that. But hearing and getting the live reaction of your product is like, I think, invaluable. It's just
totally. Yeah. Have you ever like set up like a hair washing station in public?
We need to do that. Actually, no, we have not done that. That would be phenomenal.
Get like get like three like RV showers, like they're called solar showers.
Yeah.
Where they have like a solar panel on the bag. And fill them up and just like go to the beach.
Dude.
And just like let people like wash their hair with long hair shampoo.
Bro.
Be like, what do you think? What do you think?
Yes.
You like it? Yes. You like it? Should I leave you alone? You want me to? Oh, you got missed a spot.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
That is a phenomenal idea.
Yeah. I mean, and that's like the stuff that I love doing. I love marketing and thinking like a brand. You know, embodying that thought process. I mean, it's so cool to create something for a group of people.
Absolutely.
You know, and try to understand that person. Either you're them or there's somebody that you want to help.
Yeah.
Right. I worked for a short stint at a restaurant, and I was working for a James Beard chef. At the time, he wasn't. He was just a pizza guy.
Okay.
And then he became a James Beard nominee, like, multiple times over.
Wow.
And he told me, you know, it's like 80% of the menu is for them, 20% of the menu is for you, you know, and it's help, you know, creating a brand that helps, that represents you,
yeah,
but represents them,
yeah,
more so, and has more of what they need than maybe just like what you want.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and finding that is like a really magical balance.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. We had to change our packaging a lot based on what I knew they needed.
Okay.
But like our packaging originally was super artistic and I loved it.
Yeah.
You know, and some people that were real artsy were like, oh man, what happened to the other bag? You know, right. Like this bag's great looking, but it's just like, it's super clean.
Yeah.
You know, the other one had a, I was like, yeah, but you know what it is now. Yeah. You know, like you can read it,
right.
You know, and therefore our sales went way up.
Yeah.
Speaking of packaging, we got some nice products from Strong Coffee out here.
We
right?
do. We
what
do.
Got? What do we got?
So on the bottom, we have our instant latte and essentials. Essentials are proteins, healthy fats, fiber, and then, you know, nootropics and adaptogens,
okay.
Which really assist, you know, the caffeine experience, right? Caffeine alters your neurochemistry. And if we can supplement those neurochemicals with things that elevate supportive neurochemicals to what caffeine is doing, not only will the caffeine last longer, right, but it won't give you any anxiety, jitters, or a crash.
Definitely. I've noticed that, Trent, and using your guys' product, for sure.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and for me, that's really important because I go one speed until I fall asleep at 9 o'clock at night.
Okay. Yeah.
And I don't ever want to feel like something I drank just downregulated me at some point.
Yeah.
Right. So it was really important for me to figure that out. I was somebody who was, you know, given Adderall, you know, as a kid, you know, I was ADHD. I hated the way I felt when the Adderall wore off.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost like panic attacks, you know, and I
shit,
really
it's like speed, right?
Isn't right? Adderall and, like, well, I mean, yeah, it's methamphetamines. I mean, they call it. It's literally like says like amphetamines plus salt, you know, or methamphetamine, you know, plus salt on the packet, you know, for like the generic ones.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's wild. I haven't touched this shit in so long. I think it's so toxic.
Yeah,
but a lot of the science that went into it, I did look at to understand how to create more focus, how to balance the brain.
Okay,
they do it in such a harsh way. That's why the drop off is so much harsh. You know, it's like the positive physiological at that level will have a negative physiological, right? It's like an extreme.
Okay.
So the lattes are delicious. They're creamy. One of them is sweet. The red one is sweet vanilla. The blue one is cacao bold. It's like the brooding dude, like sitting in the corner, you know, it's like he doesn't want to be sweet, but he wants to be creamy and delicious. And then we got the instant coffee plus adaptogens. That's black. It's got like a nice, like bold, medium front end, but it's like a brighter cherry notes on the end, which is nice.
Okay.
For those that don't want an acidic, bitter coffee finish, this is exactly the type of flavor you would love.
Nice.
And it's loaded with adaptogens and nootropics as well. So adaptogens help your body fight stress, and nootropics help with cognitive focus.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So our nootropics, we have many in there, but and they're all the same. Like that is the similarities across all of them. The lattes just have the proteins and the fats. But one of our nootropics is really special, as it has a relationship actually to the coffee bean itself. So the coffee berry is the most potent source of what's called polyphenols, which is a type of antioxidant.
Okay, yeah.
And this antioxidant is like Miracle Grow for your brain, right? And the way that you can measure your brain's health is by measuring a neuroprotein called BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factors. Well, our coffee increases BDNF in your brain by 143%.
Damn.
And it comes from the coffee berry, right? So coffee beans come from a berry, and a lot of people don't know that. So we've been throwing away 50% of the coffee plant. since the 14th century, since it became like a popularized daily drink.
Yeah.
And ultimately, we were like, well, it has these incredible properties. Why don't we just combine it into coffee? And we're the only company that does this, you know, with Neurofactor being this trademarked ingredient. As a fun fact, collagen is partially of what your hair is made up of, right? So a lot of people don't realize, but you, after the age of roughly 30, right, your collagen production diminishes roughly 20% within the first 10 years after 30, and then it goes about similar every 10 years, right? And that's where like joint issues and thinning hair and all these things come from is collagen production.
So
nails become more brittle as you age, different stuff like that. So by supplementing your collagen, you will have faster growing hair, thicker, fuller growing fingernails. We were just talking about this morning, like the like the shittiest part about drinking strong coffee is you have to cut your fingernails a lot. You know, you're like, damn, I just cut these like a week ago and they're already talons. So that's so there is a cool connection to the idea that, you know, collagen can increase like hair growth, skin health, all those things. And it also, when taken before workout, can actually increase what's called myocollagen fibril size, which is these fibers inside of your muscles that and your that connect into your tendons that you want them to be more robust.
Okay.
And if they are, then you can also become stronger because your body won't limit yourself based off of your joint integrity.
Wow.
So the stronger your joints get, the more your neurological system will allow your muscles to get.
Okay.
And it takes your joints four times longer to develop than your muscles.
Okay.
So if you could kind of catch your joints up to muscle production, you won't plateau as much in your strength categories.
So our coffee literally makes you stronger.
So if you're taking, let's say you're taking some other nootropics as well, or you're taking like a supplement stack, like the Onnit Total Human, for example, is this something that, you know,
No, I'm just kidding.
That Total Human, you know, all the different.
Just joking. Bad joke.
Vitamins or whatever. Joke. So, like, you know, is this something where I could supplement away from a multivitamin and just take strong coffee, or do I
not a multivitamin? Not a multivitamin, because there's multivitamins have folic acid or, you know, iron and all these other, you know, essentials. A lot of them are obviously synthetic, which that's like a whole different conversation. Like you're much better off having like organ powders of some sort, you know, for a lot of your multivitamin needs than having a synthetic multivitamin. So when I look at, if you're taking like Total Human Optimization, like a nootropic type stack, I mean, those have multivitamins though, so I wouldn't say replace that. But if you're looking
But they have like the Alpha Brains in there.
If you're looking at something like Alpha Brain, I believe that strong coffee outperforms almost any pilled nootropic out there. When it comes to the actual feeling. It's, you know, it's cerebral, it's euphoric, it's, you know, it's sharp, but it's like smooth. Like at the same time where it's your you don't like come up, go down, you know, you're just there. And it happens very fast because you don't, your body doesn't have to break the pill capsules down. So you're ingesting it and it's liquid. With the MCTs, your body doesn't have to digest it. It doesn't have to break it down. So MCTs turn into like instant, like acetylcholine, right? It like gets the brain like firing up. So if I look at like something like a nootropic, you're really robbing from Peter to pay Paul. Right, where it's like a lot of nootropics, if that's all you're taking is a couple of pills, you're really just like borrowing from your system. Right, and where this is at least, and you're borrowing, like it's like borrowing a car knowing it has no gas in it, right? Where it's like this, it's like a fuel, it's like the car with gas. Right, because like the nutrition is an important aspect of performance. Having MCTs so that your brain has cognitive fuel, right? Collagen, proteins, will satiate appetite, which will allow you to focus on your task. Mm. You know, it's like, because if you're hungry and your body's like digesting these pills, you know, it's like a little burbly and then you're like thinking like, fuck, I got to eat something.
Yeah.
You're no longer being like efficient. You're no longer focused on your task.
No.
You're now thinking about food and grabbing food.
Yeah.
You know, an hour and a half later, you're back at your computer, finally ready to work. Right.
Totally.
So I look at, you know, that being like a big difference. And I mean, it's just, it's an experience, you know, you're already drinking coffee. Why not get rid of like that ugly ass coffee machine sitting on your countertop, right? Taking up all that space, get yourself a small little electric kettle, right? Heat up a little bit of water, make a single cup of coffee, stop wasting any excess. You know, it's like if you are somebody who puts things in your coffee, stop busting out the blender at 5 a.m. and pissing off your significant other, you know, like whatever it is that you're doing.
Grinding this, your beans.
Your weird type A shit. You know, like people always want to talk about, people always like they'll, it's so funny. Like a guy who likes to talk about cars, but doesn't own a Lamborghini.
Sure.
Right. People like to talk about like, oh, what kind of beans you put in this? And you know, like there's some like fucking coffee aficionado, right?
Yeah.
And they're like most likely drinking Starbucks 2/3 of the time. And they're asking me what kind of beans I'm putting in this. Right. Like you actually give a shit, like in the grand sense of it.
You know a ton about beans.
Yeah. Because Starbucks said so. Ethiopian, Sumatran blend, you know, it's all tastes the same though. Yeah. Right. So when I look at, you know, these people, they're arguing about what coffee is better, right? Like, that's literally, you hear that argument.
Yeah.
Like, people are like, oh, no, man, they have better coffee. Oh, no, they have better coffee.
Yeah.
No, that coffee is the best coffee. I don't ever hear about people arguing like, no, man, that coffee makes me feel better.
Yeah.
No, that coffee makes me feel the best.
Yeah.
Aren't we, in fact, drinking coffee to feel better?
Right.
Like, aren't we in fact drinking coffee to be our best?
Right.
Like, so what the fuck's the point of drinking some brown swill from your favorite spot if it doesn't make you feel fucking awesome?
Yeah.
Right? If you don't feel strong after drinking your cup of coffee, then it's weak.
Right.
like, that's my impression of all other coffee. So when people ask me, like, oh, how does this compare to that? I'm like, totally different fucking category.
Yeah.
You're comparing an apple to a bazooka.
Right.
I'm like, this shit gets it done.
Yeah.
You know, that's.
I agree. I mean, as a drinker of from both sides, this is far superior.
And like, I understand rituals.
Yeah.
I understand craft, right? Like, I'm not trying to poo-poo a barista who's like, you know, dedicated their life to making like a perfect macchiato. It's like, if I'm in Venice, which we'll be there, I'll still stop at this one spot and get a Rip Curl latte. And because of the craft of that coffee.
Yeah.
Right? That is a dessert to me at that point.
Sure.
Right? If that's the fact, then treat your current habit like a dessert.
Yeah.
And make strong coffee your new habit.
Yeah.
To like make everything else that much better.
Yeah.
You know, and that's like my hope. That's why we're on this road, is like get in front of more people. Let's go outside the fitness world.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, like let's let everybody know, because as much as you can't say in marketing, and you know this, you can't say it's for everybody.
Right.
Right. Like if you just came out with a product called hairs, it's like fucking everybody has them. So nobody buys it.
Or just hair ties. Yeah.
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 It was like, no, long hairs. There's a certain people who have long hair.
Right.
Well, there are certain people who care about their health.
Yeah.
Right. And now they're and we're talking to them. But I also want to talk to people who we want to care about their health more.
Right.
And look at this as a passive decision.
Yeah.
In which once you make it, you don't ever have to make that decision again.
Yeah.
And you're just healthier every day because of it. It's like buying a better mattress.
Yeah. 100%.
Right. If you invest in a better mattress, you sleep better. For X long.
Yeah.
Right? Until you have to replace that mattress.
Yeah.
You know?
Which has massive implications in the, and as you're breaking this down, all I'm thinking about is like the outside of the fitness, let's get the fitness people out and just the normal people who wake up and they go to that tradition of their coffee and just like exactly what you're saying, like how shitty they feel in 2 hours or, you know, 2.5 hours when that, and they go, and then they go for another cup.
Yep.
You know, the, that type of stuff, like that, that's a negative behavior. That's not a positive behavior.
Totally.
And if you could, like, you guys have a massive opportunity here to attack that. Like, that's that's a real issue.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, it's wild. Like, companies, you know, there's companies out there that, you know, they've increased, you know, like the only people that are kind of comparative to us are, you know, in the ready to drink section, right? And they've increased their caffeine in their product, right? And then they took away the organic coffee, right? So it's no longer organic coffee. It's no longer grass-fed whey. It's just regular whey. Yeah. And then they just increased the caffeine. It's like, that's not helping the consumer.
No.
Right? Putting more gas on the fire is not what's actually helping the situation. I started our drink at 180 milligrams of caffeine. It's now 120.
Okay.
Because it was about finding this balance.
Yeah.
And for anybody that's like, oh, I need more than 120 milligrams, trust me, you might not.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you drink this just for a couple of days and you let your adrenals actually like relax a little bit, this 120 milligrams with all the other things in it will feel like 200 did. Okay. Right. But without the negative, without the adverse effects long term.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I've never had any type of adrenal fatigue, but I only drink about 1.5 of these a day. But I've been doing it for almost every day for 5 years.
Okay.
Right. And it was like blood markers are all good. Like everything. I'm like, yeah. Like, and I feel that way.
Yeah.
Like mentally, I feel razor sharp every day.
Do you have a recommended time?
Unless I pass out product? On a podcast.
Like, is it? Do you have a recommended time, to take your product? Like, is it something you want to do? Like, you mentioned working out, but, you know, should it be right before workout? Can I take it after workout?
Yeah, yeah.
Should I do it midday? Should it be a morning thing always? Like,
so strong coffee is attached to an idea. You did say author. Let's talk about that real fast.
Yeah.
I did write a book. It was called Breaking Fast.
Yeah.
I'm actually in the process of creating a version 2 of it.
Nice.
Kind of adding to it. A lot of people that read it loved it, but they wanted to know how to apply all this information.
Okay.
I kind of just like gave all this information.
Yeah.
But I didn't really put it together in a plan.
Okay.
And I would like to add it, you know, more to it. Intermittent fasting became really popularized and was like weaponized in like a marketing manner to sell a product. But it was, I say weaponized because it was not meant to be that way. So they like flipped the script. They manipulated what fasting actually should look like.
Okay.
So when you look at fasting and like evolution and the way that certain things work, like our circadian rhythm, right? Those are, you know, through ghrelin and melatonin and these things that are produced and start production upon first sunlight and food.
Yeah.
Right. So breaking fast in the morning is essential for optimal sleep.
Okay.
Right. And people struggle with sleep in America.
Yeah.
I forgot how many people are on sleeping pills. I mean, it's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
So when I look at strong coffee, I used to be an intermittent faster because I bought into the dogma. The thing was, is I never felt the negative effects because my coffee, I started putting the collagen and these other things into it. And that's kind of like where my mind was like, well, I am actually breaking fast. Like all the research I was doing showed me that if I am drinking coffee with fats in it, like I am breaking fast. So this is all just kind of like bullshit because then you're not eating another meal till X time.
Yeah.
Like this, none of this actually makes sense. So for me, it was, you know, stop like doing this and do this by breaking fast in the morning. I wake up at 5. If I try to work out in the morning, anytime before noon, and noon like has a significance to like sleep as well, because anytime after noon that you are working out, you start to reduce your overall REM cycles at nighttime. So like my whole goal was to just constantly improve my overall sleep quality.
Yeah.
Right.
Which you want max REM cycles, right?
Yeah. So you can live longer.
Yeah.
Your brain will be healthier, you know, all these things. So when, to give Andrew Huberman a nod, I would say that drinking coffee first thing in the morning is not what to do.
Okay.
I think the best way to do it is to wake up and for an hour and drink some water, walk around, check your faculties, you know, do some things around the house. Like, don't turn on a TV or a screen. Sure. Just kind of do some of your shit, you know, and do it before the sun comes up. Mm. And then go outside with your cup of coffee at 6 a.m. when that sun is at 10 degrees and sit there and enjoy the sun or look out your window because it's winter and try to find the sun, you know, whatever, and drink your cup of coffee. And your adrenal system, your overall reaction to that cup of coffee by waiting that hour will be significantly better because you do have higher cortisol when you wake up. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like a mechanism to get you like out of bed and kind of moving.
Okay, yeah.
You don't need to pour more cortisol on the fire.
Yeah.
And coffee does increase cortisol. Ours does a lot less, but it does have a cortisol response to it.
Okay.
You know, so it's... It gets you kind of moving because it stresses you out a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, but stress is a good thing because it creates, you know, adaption. That's why I like people ice bath because it stresses the body. So the body then adapts to it. Then they do heat. So now they're adapting to heat. But really what they're doing is they're adapting their body to higher heart rates for elevated periods of time without fatiguing themselves through exercise.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like this more stress adaption.
Man.
Boom.
Yeah, no, it's, no, it's a great, answer. I'm rethinking my morning routine.
Well, and I mean, I think that's like, and that's what I hope, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you start strong, is what the whole, all those things I just said, right?
Yeah,
if you start strong, then you'll finish strong.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you have breakfast in the morning, right? And your first thing that you're having is easily digestible, gives you the fuel to kind of just like get, like maybe you don't want to eat fucking like a bunch of food like at 6 a.m., right? That is hard.
Yeah.
But having that coffee now just buys you like 2 hours.
Right
now it's 8 a.m. It feels normal to cook up some breakfast. Yeah. Like maybe you already snuck a workout in.
Yeah.
This is now like your post-recovery meal. You're going to feel really good. Or maybe it's your pre-workout meal.
Yeah.
Because you're going to work out at like 9 or 10.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like... That is the way, right? And because so many of us now do have this freedom to work from home or to have that type of schedule where we can make that shift, stop looking at fitness and your diet the way you did when you had to be at work at 9 and you got off at 5.
Great point.
Right? Totally. Yeah. Like get out of that habit because that habit actually doesn't serve you. That habit was created to serve them.
Yeah.
Right?
Totally.
Like, it was like, eat before you fucking get here.
Yeah.
We're going to give you a little break to eat lunch because, I mean, I guess you have to eat. You know, and then eat dinner when you get home.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, at that point, I mean, the American home, like, they're not eating till 7 p.m.
Right.
Which is going to fuck your sleep up.
Yeah.
Right? So, I think eating more in the beginning of the day is really, like, a big deal. Trying to get 2/3 of your calories in before, you know, work is even over.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, great shit. Love that.
And shoot. Some movement in, right?
Yeah, got to get the movement in the morning.
And like, and you know, and like, fuck like all like health markers and better sleep, consistency.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If you do something first thing in the morning, and that becomes your habit window, you yourself will be more likely to do it. Because if you're doing it before all these other assholes in your life that need something from you are awake requesting things from you, you're able to get it done.
Right.
But the first text you get as an entrepreneur, as a small business owner, literally changes the entire course of your day.
Yeah.
You know, and it could be detrimental to your entire day. It could be like, dude, UPS didn't come last night. Fuck.
Yeah.
Like, oh, dude, now it doesn't even, you actually can't even do anything to fix the problem.
Right.
But what you do is you compound the problem because guilt loves guilt.
Yeah.
Or guilt loves shame. Right. So it's like, okay, well, this has happened. Now I'm going to like fuck myself up even more by not working out.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to go to the office and be mad about it that I couldn't work out and this thing happened. Right. And then you're going to like eat something shitty. And that just becomes kind of like a cycle.
Yeah.
And a lot of people do that every day for the next 40 years of their fucking life.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Yeah, I think his like greatest abilities is like this creative problem solving, which is like even when shit's hit the fan at some things, it's been like instead of focusing on the problem, like let's focus on the solution. Like he doesn't want to even hear about like let's stop talking about the problem. Like what's the solution?
Yeah,
like
totally.
Problems already happened. Like and it's always these creative. Okay, well fuck. Well let's just do this like quick pivots. Boom boom boom. It's like you know like you're on the field. Like okay, that defense isn't what we scouted for. So right. Now what are we gonna do? Well now we gotta change the game plan. So it's really cool to see like the creative problem solving and like actually, you know, seeing that like what he said he preaches, you know what I mean?
Totally.
Like what he does what he preaches.
I think this is a key thing too that we've really been trying to implement this year is being clear and identifying what is an actual problem. Because there's plenty of things that you could make up as problems that are really meaningless, not worth any of the team's time or energy or anything. So we do a session called an IDS where we identify all of our issues, discuss one, like rank them one to three. There could be 15 on a list. We spend 1 hour every Monday. There's the list, identify, you know, all of them, then rank them 1, 2, 3, and then spend as much time as it is to discuss and solve that issue. And until it's fucking solved.
Mm.
Yeah. And then boom, move down to the next one. We run out of time. Cool. It's all good. We're just, everybody's back to the grind. Next Monday, we'll be back. And these are like the bigger problems in the business.
Like you're
just
chipping away. And
totally.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think a lot of people, they like tackle the problem, but never create a solution to remove the problem.
Mm. Right.
Yeah. Right, and that's like what you
solve.
See.
You got to solve it. Yeah,
Don't solve the issue.
Right,
solve the problem.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
It's like, why do we keep on getting emails like this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So let's on our website make sure that it says 120 milligrams of caffeine.
There we go.
Fucking very clearly.
Yeah.
Right there. So we stop getting that question. Because if that question is stopping them from making a decision of purchasing, that's a problem, right? We're not in the business of emailing.
Right.
Like obviously we email customers, but like we're not in the business of this kind of like email sale communication. Right. Like we can't talk to every person.
Yeah.
You know, so when things like that would finally get done, all of a sudden you see customer service time drop from like 25 hours to 16 hours.
Yeah.
You're like, yo, that was nine hours.
That's huge.
A week.
That's a whole
of
day.
Answering questions.
Yeah.
Related to how much caffeine is inside of our product. I'm like, that's,
yeah.
I can't believe we did that for 8 weeks or 10 weeks, you know, whatever it was.
Yeah. 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 That's the shit in business that's, you know, fun.
Yeah. I love that meme. And it was like, I was sick and tired of working my 9-to-5 job. So I started my own business. Now I work every goddamn minute. And the guy throws the shit, his laptop like in the garbage.
Yeah, it's totally. Just,
it's like if you got into entrepreneurialism and startup world to not work so hard, you went in the wrong direction.
You're lying.
You're lying to yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Sam Dancer says it best. Like it seems like every one I get, I take a couple punches to get there.
Yeah.
You know, and
for sure.
I was a short 185er, you know, so it's like that was even in boxing, you know, and fighting. I always took a couple to get in there.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like, all right, but once I get that guy, I'm ripping that leg off, you know, like, you know, Strong Coffee is not, you know, disappointed, you know, in that fact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are some of the, you know, if you guys don't mind, just we don't have to go super deep,
water?
But just, you know, what are some of the issues you guys are dealing with right now and just where you're at as a company?
Yeah. I mean, finding good help. I mean, fuck. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Caleb. Oh, I thought you meant like more help. Trying to staff up.
That was just
what?
A joke.
I'll take one more of these, actually.
Caleb is great. This beer was amazing. I just think I need more water than beer at this point.
Sure.
You like looked at me at one point. You're like, get this guy more water. He's about to pass out.
Well,
again.
You're talking a lot, and I know, you know.
Yeah. I can tell I'm dehydrated. It's like a little dry right here. Road trip. That sand, one of the two. We just fell asleep on the beach before we came here.
Okay, that's amazing.
So, what are we going through? You know, that's a big question. I mean, one that I think it's, you know, awesome platform to talk about. So almost 2 years ago, we got into Whole Foods.
Yeah.
And globally. And we, in 2021, we got in. And in 2022, about 8 weeks after delivering our initial run, we got a reorder, a massive reorder, okay. Right? At the time, we're like flying blind. Their online portal system is down. We're not able to see velocity.
Oh, wow.
We're getting emails that are saying, distribution centers are low. Like, when are you going to send this product? Right? We call our SRM. They're like, yeah, send it. Like, we don't make mistakes. Uh-huh. You know, Whole Foods is like, yeah, send it. Right? So we make a shitload of product. It's a $1.2 million reorder.
Holy shit.
I mean, we're about to have the biggest. I mean, not only is our online sales just grew 150% and we're on track to do, you know, 1.8 million online, up from 500,000 last year.
Awesome. Awesome.
But yeah, we have this $1.2 million reorder from Whole Foods.
Yeah, huge.
Like, holy fuck.
Yeah. Awesome. Doubling your business right there, basically.
Tripling.
Yeah.
I mean, it was crazy. And we, 8 weeks later, you know, we invested almost all of our money into this product. We're like, we're about to get $1.2 million.
All for Whole Foods. Yeah.
And this person comes out of fucking nowhere, left field, some analyst, hops on this email, is like, why are we getting this shit? We don't need any of this.
Wow.
And they literally cancel every PO. Damn. At first, they put it on hold because they didn't know what the fuck was going on.
Okay.
They're like, why would you have gotten these POs? I'm like, yeah, that's a great question.
Okay, so you got the hard POs.
Yeah, bro. Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure I could probably sue them. Okay. You know, like, okay, or at least go after my money. And I mean, I got 7 years to do so. So, I mean, statute of limitations type shit.
Okay.
You know, but like, it was crazy to all of a sudden get these POs put on hold. And now I'm like, oh my God, you know, what is going on here? A couple weeks later, they're like, yeah, this is what happened. We didn't recalculate velocity, this and that. They are automatic POs based off of assumed velocity.
Oh, wow.
And like, their markers were like off of velocity across the entire section by like, let's just say like 40 times.
So their algorithms blew it basically or whatever.
All the way to like fucking left field.
Holy crap.
I mean, just foul ball.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, wow.
The money's spent on your end.
The money's spent.
Yeah.
I mean, we owe that bill.
Yeah.
You know, $700,000.
Yeah.
Right. So we right now, you know, had to pull the brakes on any excess spending. You know, we had an office that we just moved into that was like super cool in a CrossFit gym and we had a lot of plans, you know, cause we had this 1.2 million coming. We just had this crazy, like our online profitability was, you know, like $50,000 a month, you know, for a couple of months. And
that's awesome.
You know, it kept that moving that way, but Whole Foods soaked up all that money.
Yeah.
So we now just have a lot of overstock with a shelf life. And so we have roughly 1 year remaining on that stock.
Yeah.
And we have about 2/3 of it left.
Is the Whole Foods still alive? Like,
we are still in Whole Foods globally.
Okay.
So
they could come to you for.
So, you know, a couple weeks later, they tried discontinuing, or a couple months later, they sent us a discontinuation notice globally. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? I'm like, hey, why?
Yeah.
You know, one, like, explain yourself. They couldn't. And I'm like, well, this is how I see it. And I showed them all these emails and kind of the lack of their ability to execute on their side and the amount of errors that they were making. And about 3 months of just unanswered emails and just kind of shrugging us off a little bit.
Yeah.
They finally got on a call with us and they reversed the discontinuation.
Really?
And it put us back on the shelves, but it took a while, right? Mm. And it's like, there's perception to a brand. It's a premium product.
Yeah.
You go and put us on the clearance section with this other dog shit.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and then when you bring us back in the section, you put us on the bottom shelf. Dude, it's back. Like, who's looking at their shoes when they're walking through a grocery store?
Right.
You know, we beat out at the time for that year, we were next to Vital Proteins, a billion-dollar plus organization, right?
Yeah.
A well-known name. We beat them in revenue by 4 times.
Wow.
Standing right next to them. And our product was $4 more. And it, like, at a consumer level, they would choose Vital Proteins.
Yeah.
But like if they picked it up, they saw 15 grams of protein versus 7, you know, way right. better branding, like,
yeah.
like all these things. So they chose us.
Yeah.
Vital Proteins got the boot. We stayed.
Okay.
So now we're in our second year. And they just told us, like, hey, you need to run more promotions to get your velocity up. And I'm like, hey, we're still fucking broke.
Yeah.
For the first time, I kind of like snapped just a little bit. I'm like, well, we're still broke from what you guys did to us.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, because like no matter how you spin it, you did do this to us.
Yeah.
But the way I see it, and I have to see it, is that it was done for me.
Totally.
Right? It's like, okay, this is my... what I kind of believe is I believe there are multiple barriers that an entrepreneur has to go through.
Mm-hmm.
I believe this one is the one that is like final level boss shit, where it's like, if I get past, when I get past this problem in the next 12 months,
yeah.
the level of strong coffee will be like, that much higher.
Totally.
It'll be Valerian steel, you know, it'll be like, yeah. it'll be cutting anything down,
yeah.
you know? And I do believe that because we have continued to push forward through a year of this adversity. I mean, that was a year ago that we're in January,
yeah.
like March, right? That we're dealing with this. And so we are now, you know, 1 year left in this process, and we're refocusing the company to focus on travel packs. We're out here handing the shit out, like doing whatever we can,
yeah.
working out deals with brands to put our product in every one of their orders. Nice. Be like, hey, like put this packet with these 3 products in every one of your order.
Yeah.
Like the surprise and delight, you know, kind of mentality, like the mint,
yeah.
like the mint study. Like where they did like studies with mints.
Right, yeah.
And it's like by giving your person an unexpected gift, they will be more likely to order your product and possibly likely to order ours.
Yeah.
We're doing whatever we can,
yeah.
you know, because really in the end, it's like if we can get this product into everybody's hands, even if we just gave it all away, we would have so many customers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. If we just gave away $673,000 worth of like manufactured goods at like $3 million worth of street value product, and we just kept giving it away, those people will come back.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not giving it away in the, you know, in a fucking area that is not going to have that.
Sure.
But like,
sure.
we're at the right spots, just giving it away.
Yeah.
It's like those people will come back because the product is that good.
Mm.
And it's just like, it's just right now, it's like, how hard are you willing to go to save this thing that you love so much,
yeah.
to finish this like piece of art that you're working on.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I'm willing to go pretty fucking far.
Yeah. yeah. And dude, yeah, I love it. I mean, it's just, it's part of the journey. I think it's awesome that you guys are going through it. I mean, as much as it sucks, it's also just, like you said, that realization of when you come out the other end, it's going to be.
Yeah, there's
that. You can't fuck with us.
Yeah, no, you can't fuck with us. There's that meme where the guy's digging in the mine, and you see like that. There's like this thin layer of dirt, and then a diamond.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then like the one that he's like walking away.
Yeah,
and it's like, yo, man, you were just 2 blows away right. from finding that diamond.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
it's like, don't get me wrong. I think like anybody who's listening to this and being like, damn, man, I wish I could have that type of perseverance or, you know, like resilience to like a situation. It's like, believe me, like there's weakness there. Like I found myself, you know, online, like looking at a possible job thing that would like be different than what I'm doing,
sure.
you know, that would be more stable or, you know, whatever it is. And then I look at it and I'm like, that's not who I am though.
No.
And it reminds me of that.
Yeah.
And I go right back to working that much harder because I don't want that to happen.
Yeah.
You know? Absolutely. So it's like, there is that little moment and it's like the cracks are there to let the light in.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, and yeah, the self-doubt is always a big one, you know, like how are we going to be able to persevere through this obstacle?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I feel I deal with that all the time. Even like last year we went through a pretty crazy thing with we redid all our bottles, these aluminum bottles, got away from plastic. We did this huge pre-sale, totally awesome. But then we had like 5 months of delays from the manufacturer.
Oh, dude.
Set us back so much. People start canceling orders.
Was that during COVID?
It was due to COVID shipping and all the stuff.
Yep.
But, you know, it was like, hey, at the end of the day, this is fucking our problem. Like, we can't blame it on the manufacturers. No. It only goes so far. Mm. Like, the other people, at the end of the day, it's our problem.
It's not your fault, but it is your responsibility.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And that's like what Mark Manson would say.
Yeah.
Like, with the subtle art of not giving a fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I've listened to that book so many times because I had to learn that it is like, it really, like, I've had to be accountable like my whole life to a lot of things. I mean, I have a little brother who's paralyzed that, you know, it's like I couldn't go to, you know, like my senior awards and like get like my track award. Like I didn't even know I was getting an award, you know, and it's like those are things that no, this isn't like my fault, but like taking care of this kid is like a responsibility that I'm not going to like walk away from.
Right. Right.
And those things, you know, have continued to, you know, exist in my life where, you know, a lot of people walk away and I'm like, man, fuck that. Like all these people that rely on you and like depend on you, whether it's your employees, your investors that believed in you,
right.
Like your own word to yourself.
Yeah.
Right. Like if you're not able to stick to that, like what can't, like,
you can't,
you're not going to stick to anything.
No,
like if you said, I'm going to build the best, the biggest coffee company ever. You know, like I say all the time, like I'm going to become loud enough that Starbucks will want to shut me down. Right. Like that is my level of where I want to go with this.
Sure.
You know, and it's at no point will I be satisfied until that happens.
Yeah.
You know, or strong coffee just is completely done, you know, and if that's happening, I'm probably done, you know.
Yeah. It's an awesome journey.
Yeah, the plot thickens, man.
The plot thickens. Talk about hair for a second, because we're in the realm of reality and the stress that I went through. So when that all happened, see my lovely gray face, So I actually woke up one day and this entire patch was missing hair.
Alopecia barba?
Alopecia areata.
Areata? Okay, yeah.
So I started on my face.
Uh-huh.
And then one day I'm sitting with my friend who owned the smoothie shop.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, hey, dude, your barber fucked up on your head.
Oh, shit.
And I was like, oh, no, my barber fucked up on my head. You know, not knowing.
Yeah.
And I like got home and I looked at how smooth it was and I was like, there's no fucking way that's a barber fuck up.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
yeah, the stress,
I'm like, this is alopecia. I'm like, oh my God, dude. I'm like, I'm losing my fucking hair. I'm like, are you kidding me? You know? And it was then like the idea of like losing your hair starts stressing you out.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was really wild. It was just kind of like, and then like another little spot on my right side.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, I'm like, this isn't, you know, this is a thing. I need to get this under control. And, I started running.
Okay.
And I started running regularly.
Nice.
And all of a sudden all my hair just in the spots just grew back. Pretty full, and
so it was just releasing that stress from running.
Releasing stress with running and releasing myself from the idea that strong coffee success is my own success.
Mm.
Right. And I think like that's the final stage of entrepreneurialism is acknowledging that, you know, the business and you are not one. right? Like, and it's so easy when you're in this, like, so deep, when somebody asks you, how are you doing? And you'll go, oh man, I'm good. Long hairs is blah, blah, blah. And you just like instantly skate over yourself.
Right.
And you just start talking about your business and like how Long Hairs is doing. Or I talk about strong coffee. Or like, and I'm not saying you do that, but I know I do that. I've done that a lot. And catching myself from doing that and disconnecting from, you know, if what if strong coffee fails? It's like that. Well, it doesn't make you a failure.
Right.
Like that doesn't mean you're, and like, what does that even mean, fail? Yeah. You know, like I saw this great quote by Giannis, and it, you know, he was asked by the Giannis is the basketball player for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah.
And he was asked by this journalist, and the journalist goes, do you see this year as a failure? And he goes, man, why do you ask me this question? He's like, you asked me this question last year. He's like, Michael Jordan played for this many years and only has 6 rings. He's like, was the other 9 years a failure?
Yeah.
And it's like understanding like what success and failure is.
Totally.
And being able to disconnect it. And all of a sudden, like my hair just grew back.
Yeah.
You know? And it was like, oh, okay.
Boom.
Boom. Yeah, like disconnecting from these things that you can't control.
Exactly.
Right. And that you can't change.
And I think too, understanding like, hey, this is a long road. Like this isn't the end here. Like, why am I so stressed out about this?
Totally.
Why am like, this is just a challenge right in front of me here.
You know, I've unfortunately, I was given a gift when my brother passed away of kind of like this, like live for the moment thing, but it's also a problem. Right. Because I don't know if the next moment actually exists.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, so it's like almost every moment is like a championship game for me.
Okay. Yeah.
Because like for so long, I was convinced that I was going to have a short life like my brother. You know, because I mean, more, it's hard to explain how losing a sibling at that young of an age. And at the time, I also lost like 2 friends to suicide, you know, like right around that time. It's hard to explain how like mortality affects how you see something and then how that perception of that thing reflects into anxiety of whether or not you'll achieve what it is you seek before your time is up.
Yeah.
And that is like the thing still to this day that I have to remind myself, like whether today is your last day or not, like understand that this doesn't really define who you are, you know?
Definitely.
So.
Absolutely. Well said. Man.
This water is delicious.
Yeah.
Glad you like
no,
it.
No, I'm just, yeah, I'm just reflecting here because, you know, it's just, there's no easy answer, anything. We all have gone through different paths in our life that have got us here, that have even brought us
in
here.
In this exact moment,
to sitting
bro.
Here on these couches talking.
Agreed.
So hearing your story is completely, it's super inspirational. And my biggest takeaway though is just like the mentality, you know, and I think that's like what I think we have in common, like sitting in this room, and that's why we're even here.
Yeah.
Like you never would have called me if you didn't want me to meet Adam.
100%, yeah.
Like, cause you knew he could influence us. It's just fucking crush this coming week and every problem we got here, you know? So
well, there's nothing that you can't take on. I mean, like when you're strong, I mean, it really is. It's just, it's not about like, again, it's not about like the weight we lift. It's about like the situations we endure.
Yeah.
Right. And it's that ability of resilience that ultimately makes you successful.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I think it was Brad Pitt who said, I wasn't the best. I wasn't the best looking. I wasn't the best actor. I was the one who just kept showing up to, you know, auditions.
Sure.
Right. Like the crowd thinned out.
Yeah.
You know, like the blonde 6-foot guy, like years later, what, same loop wasn't there anymore because they got real jobs, you know, and now he's fucking Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that, you know, is such an important thing to just be like, you know, because like, what else would I be doing?
Yeah.
I mean, fuck, like working for somebody else or
showing up in an office and sitting in a desk
all day. Yeah. I mean, that just sounds like regrets.
Dude.
With a Z.
Right. Yeah. The, you know, I think the mental toughness too is what I've really come to just personally the last several years is really trying to step that up. And it goes to what we're talking about, just dealing with the stress, dealing with the problems, dealing with the situations. And like, the more I've been able to focus and build up that mental toughness, the easier it seems like a lot of these things are. Not that I have the answers, not that it's like a walk in the park,
yeah,
but less that it's like, we're done, yeah, you know, yeah, like yeah, that initial reaction, like, just don't have that anymore.
Yeah,
it's like a muscle you grow, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, like everything, you just keep doing these things that grow this muscle and grow this muscle. Like, I mean, like waking up at 4 o'clock every morning, we're always the first to events, serving the yeah, people that are right. It takes me back to like football. It's like first one in the locker room in the first week of fall camp, everybody's yeah, there early.
All the and little
fall
things
goes
right?
on.
All
there's
the
only
little
two
discipline
you
details.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. I mean, I being a union electrician, I mean, like the thing, electricians are like the you know, the Marines of you know, trades. They're okay, like the first one on, the yeah, last one to leave, okay, right, kind of thing. And yeah, it's because nothing happens without electricity.
Right.
But it's like that same thing I've carried through, because like nothing happens without coffee.
Yeah. Yeah.
You go to an event, right, with 700, 800 volunteers, you better have fucking coffee.
So, yeah. Or they're right? pissed off.
Like, like, you know, these like music festivals, you're gonna have or problems, like CrossFit yes, events, yes, right? You go to you have 700 volunteers show up, you better have coffee, right? So we have to be there early as shit.
Yeah.
I mean, like when we go to this one event in Miami, yeah, we're there at 5 in the morning and then we're
5 days in a row.
5 days in a row and there until like 9 o'clock at night.
Damn.
You know yeah, what I mean? It is just
after just driving there from Texas.
Yeah. Just stupid long days. Yeah. We're like, oh man, we can't wait to
we
get home.
Fucking love it.
So many people like will get home from like an event like that and they were like about to eat our food that we order and make sure it's there when we get there. And like 3/4 of sandwiches like laying on a plate and somebody sleeping on the couch is like, fuck. You know, just like yeah, they wake up, they're so hungry, they just like, dude, I didn't even eat my dinner, man, you know. Yeah. And that's, you know, it's that's like the type of fun we can have
yeah,
with the passion we have.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like if you're not that person, you're gonna weed yourself out really quickly
sure,
out of like a group like me.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that has been, you know, we haven't chewed up a lot of people, but there are people that are, you know, you know, I don't think I should be serving coffee. You know, this is what my job is. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, well, actually your job is to sell coffee. You know, like that's what we're doing here.
Right.
You know, and for that to happen, we have to connect with people.
Yeah.
And we have to build ourselves, you know, as a company and culture. And that type of connection matters.
Yeah.
Right.
You're especially not above pouring a cup of coffee.
You are not no, above pouring it. Just because you have a just because you have a trade, right? And yeah, that's like that white belt mentality, you know, right, sweeping the sheds. Like,
yeah,
are you willing to just show up and do shit work?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, water for a guest, man. You can't, nothing's below us.
Yeah. Yes.
Nothing.
Yeah.
100%,
I appreciate
man,
that. Water for the guest who almost passed out during yeah, filming this show.
We got to save you, man.
Well, dude, since you've conquered the alopecia, I mean, you know, and you're here at the Long Hairs HQ, are you growing? Ooh. Are you going to grow the hair out? Can we?
Yeah.
Come on. Oh, Caleb already said he's going to. Caleb's
in. I've been persuaded pretty
What's
easily.
What's the hair growth? Come on.
Yeah. So let's talk about my hair growth one time. Before the alopecia, I actually had a really nice mane growing. And it was during COVID. My wife's a barber.
Okay.
So, you know, she can always keep me like cleaned up. But like, yeah, I liked it long and she liked it long.
And she knows how to make you look good even through yeah, awkwardness. And
that's
stuff.
Huge.
That's
huge.
Key, dude. That's key.
You got the and, hookup.
And so we were in Milwaukee and I did not want her to cut my hair because we didn't have a comfortable seat to sit in.
Okay.
And I'm like, I just don't want to be uncomfortable for an hour, like sitting in like a weird chair while you cut my hair.
Yeah. Kind of like these. These are very uncomfortable. Sorry.
My ass is killing me. But no, they're great. I keep feeling like I'm a slide on. So as I was trying to tell you, I was just. I go to this place and I get my hair cut. And at the time, I mean, my hair is like down to here. Like it's, yeah, it's like getting okay, long again.
Yeah.
You know, I'm pulling it back. My wife was doing some cool like wishbone braids.
Nice.
You know, like
sick,
you know,
yeah,
like, and she'd have to like stick little ones in there. But it was getting long. So I was tired of growing the sides out and I wanted to leave the length, so I kind of just wanted like a long mohawk type thing.
Yeah.
So I could do kind of like a single braid just down the middle and just kind of do
some Viking shit.
Yeah, yeah, just like more like Viking shit, because like at one point I'd probably just like cut it off if I got tired of it, whatever.
Yeah.
That bitch cut it all off for me. I had no long hair. Dang. I went to this lady to cut my hair. She did not listen to the shit I said.
No.
Yeah, I mean, it was like this short.
Dude.
Like, she didn't listen to a word I said. Brutal. So I would like to grow my hair out again. I'm thinking like, you know, like Bradley Cooper in Star is Born type length.
Yeah.
Yeah. More like that. I don't know how, if I could go super long. Because I get weird. I would want to do a ponytail a lot, kind of like a man bun of sorts.
Yeah.
And I always see my wife getting awful headaches when she has her head in a hair bun all the time.
So,
and I'm like, I don't know if I could tolerate a tension headache.
Well, if you use hair ties for guys,
yes,
the headaches will be relieved.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
No tug, no pull, no crease.
I love
key.
It.
Great. It's key. That I will. Is. I will. We will juice your wife up with some packs. We'll take you back here. Let
perfect.
You pick.
Amazing.
And let her.
And they make great bracelets too.
Yeah, they're amazing.
They look bracelets. Great on people's wrists. I'm always like, God, these things look amazing. Got like a Southwesty vibe.
But that is one of our sales points there.
Yeah,
just had to throw it in.
Yeah, I dig it, man. It's perfect. Well timed.
So you know. So your excuse of why you don't want to grow it out.
Totally. I dig it. I dig it. Well, I mean, I would love to grow my hair out too, just because like it's something that I never fully have achieved.
Yeah, you got to go to the extreme.
Like actually get that final level.
I feel like every guy deep down, they want to do it one time. They just want
to
know.
They're scared of how it.
What would I? What would I be like with long hair?
Yeah, I have a lot of hair. I have a very thick head of hair,
dude.
So it's like when it starts growing out, it just like it becomes like a giant puff.
Then those braids and stuff too. Would
totally
look extra dope.
Totally. Yes. Yeah. It's like I have the hair that like starts curling under my hat.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty funny.
Great.
And Caleb, you're in. You're going.
Oh, dude, I'm in. You know, I'm a long hair man. I touched that extreme, and it was really funny because it got super long. It was because I was really dedicated to the great cut. Like,
right.
I really was. Like,
yeah.
I would tell Luke all the time, like, nah, dude, 2024. Yeah. And then I just, like, I kept feeling like I needed, like, this shed of character. Like,
sure.
I just needed a change and, like, you know, and then I cut it, and it,
need a
it
reset.
Kind of felt spiritual. It did.
Reset.
But right when I cut it, I was like, ooh, I missed it. And even, like, a lot of people I saw were like disappointed, like, dude, your hair was beautiful, like all that. I'm like, dude,
you did have very pretty hair.
And it makes you think like, fuck, you know, whatever. And then I got persuaded into growing it out by I called her my life teammate, but she was like, you know, like, you should grow your hair back out. And I was like,
okay,
persuaded.
There we go.
Now I'm back on that journey.
All right, well, guys,
now I just have to look at an awful haircut for the next like, year on this kid.
just deal with the awkward stages.
We were just talking.
I'd be like, you look like a schlup.
Yeah,
I'm gonna need to tune in to some like blogs about this awkward.
We got you, dog.
Going,
don't
man.
Even trip.
Like,
totally.
I was here the other day. I was like, oh, fuck, don't wear a hat. Do I let it ride? Like, I don't fucking know.
Well, it doesn't matter because whatever you guys are doing, you can wear hats, you can wear hair,
totally.
You throw a beanie on, you're
dude,
good, dude.
That's exactly
it's gonna be
why
easy for you.
100%.
It's gonna be easy.
Yeah.
Wear work. This is what we wear to work. This is what we wear to work.
Well, in March 16th, 2024, I know you guys are big on events.
Mm-hmm.
We could talk more later, but got to say it now, too. We are doing the Great Cut, which is. It's going to be the second time we've done this. In 2019, we did the Great Cut. We broke the Guinness World Record for the most hair cut and donated in 24 hours from 2,834 people. Got 362 pounds of hair.
Yeah. Wow.
The record's in there. I might be off by a pound or so. We're looking to crush that this year.
Do you still hold the Guinness Book of World Records at the time? Do you still hold that record?
Yeah, we still hold that.
Wow.
As far as we know today,
that's amazing.
We still hold that record.
Good for you.
Interesting,
guys.
Quick story on that. As we were planning the event and everything last time, we were like, all right, we need just 160 pounds to break the record. It was like 159 or 58 or something. We're like, we're going for 160. Someone 2.5 months before our event broke the record. And,
oh my God.
Yeah. And it was like 280 pounds or something.
Thick in the
and
plot.
Then we were like, damn, we got to up the ticket sale. We got to get twice as many people. Way bigger than we thought it had to be.
That's amazing.
And we freaking pulled it off.
Yeah,
you fucking crushed it.
And we did it. So This is a great cut. Number two, great cut, 2024, March 16th.
We'll
love
be there.
You. Love to have strong
easy.
Coffee out
we'll
there.
We'll be there.
Easy.
Sick. It'll be awesome.
With some flow.
Yeah, with we'll the flow. With
I'm going to grow my hair out by then.
Dude, there you go. Easy. Let it go.
I don't know if I'll cut it by then, but I'll grow it out.
Yeah, that's Bradley Cooper stage mark March next year. That's a little flow.
You're going to be legit. Maybe not enough to donate, but
yeah, no, yeah, I will donate, but I'll be there in support with my dude. I love that the long hair.
You can do it.
That long hair's beanie was like my go-to.
Dude, heck yeah.
I love that beanie. Love it. Wait to wear it again with my long hair.
There we go. Yeah. There we go. Well, guys, I really appreciate you coming, man, and
appreciate you,
man. And making the stop in the West Coast tour. Adam, yes, you're the fucking man, dude. What an amazing story, amazing life. Thank you for sharing your knowledge. And what I think is awesome, and I'm happy I could say this, is like I just think you're getting started. Seriously.
Yeah.
Thank you. Even though you've done so much cool shit, so. This is the one, man.
I'm fucking ready.
Strong Coffee is the real fucking deal.
The real deal.
Let's go.
Appreciate you, bro. All
right, guys. Till next time, boys. Garv, you got anything else?
Peace.
That was it, man. That was a heavy one.
All right.
That was a hitter.